You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Off we go into our number two here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Malonzo and you on a Friday morning. Second hour of the show means you are less than 1 hour away from having to get into the office, having to sit down at the desk and have that internal conversation with yourself of, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Nobody's life. I need to speak to every manager, every business owner in the market today. Go ahead and lower your expectations of what's going to be accomplished today. Okay? Go ahead and lower your expectations for what your employees are going to get done today. Because the reality of the situation is, every one of us has our attention turned towards Sunday and Super Bowl licks down in New Orleans, Louisiana. So don't go in today expecting that that big merger is going to get finished. It's not. Don't go in today expecting that those TPS reports are going to be done on time. They're not. Don't go in today thinking that anybody who works for or around you is going to accomplish anything today other than having conversations about sports, because that's just where we are. And go ahead and in advance, lower your expectations Monday. We're all going to be very tired. Okay? We're all going to be very, very tired. So is the Super Bowl different than the race? You staying up, like if the Super Bowl runs late, there's overtime, blah, blah, blah. Rob, you staying up for the end of that?
Rob, kickoff's around 6:40.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. It should end somewhere around my bedtime.
What if it was an 8 o'clock kick? You staying up to the end of the Super Bowl?
No.
Really?
Because if I do, I will not be able to function in my job. And it's important that one of us is able to function in our job the next day.
Sir, I've never not functioned on the air.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know. and I have no problem with getting up a half hour earlier just to watch the end of it. But I don't have to, and your hypothesis or your scenario doesn't work because kickoff's somewhere between 6:30 and 6:40. And there's pregame starting at like 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it isn't like they've got to do the national anthem. You got to do the flyover, even though it's a dome. McAfee had the two guys doing the flyover on.
We're doing a flyover that nobody in the building can see.
Well, no, they got cameras up on top of the dome.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And they still have to time it right.
Oh, you know what else they're doing at Super Bowl licks? You know what they're doing at Super Bowl licks? You know what I found out yesterday? They're doing at Super Bowl licks. There's RFID chips in the football. They're using the first down tracking technology at the Super Bowl. They're not going to make it public. We're not going to get to see it or experience it or anything like that. but they are making it. They are putting it into the game for an experiment.
What if you found out that the tush push doesn't really work because of the chip? And the chip shows that he never actually gets those first downs.
Then,
I mean, there are some that are really obvious, but the ones that are close, you find out that it's not as effective as they make it out to be.
I mean, I would say, well, then isn't that even more of a reason to begin using them now? We've been awarding non-first downs for 3 years now. That seems like even better of a reason.
And so do you go back and void any victory?
No, you can't do that.
And any touchdown that was made because of that? Because then you have to speculate, okay, he didn't really make
these,
so he probably missed 35-40% of those.
Listen, a lack of getting things right in the past because we didn't have the understanding or the technology necessary to get it right doesn't mean you void the history, but it does mean you get the future correct. That's the take. Hey, speaking of the future, you have to be to work in 54 minutes now. You're going to talk about sports because, again, none of us want to work today. And if you're going to talk about sports, you need this. And the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. This Friday, got to get down on Friday morning. Let's dive right in with item number one. The National Football League handed out its NFL honors last night, its season awards ceremony down in New Orleans, Louisiana, ahead of Super Bowl Licks coming up on Sunday in the Crescent City, the Big Easy. Josh Allen is your 2024 Most Valuable Player, edged out Lamar Jackson for the MVP. Allen, the first player in 21 seasons to win MVP without being selected first team All-Pro. Since the MVP was handed out for the first time in 1957, the only other players to win the award despite not being a first-team All-Pro were Broncos quarterback John Elway in 1987 and Titans quarterback Steve Air McNair in 2003. Elway was second team behind Joe Montana. McNair was second team behind Peyton Manning. Allen received 27 of the 50 first place votes. Lamar Jackson received 23. Jackson did receive the second most second place votes. He got 26 of them. Josh Allen got 1/3 place vote. Lamar Jackson got none. Saquon Barkley checked in third. Listen to these numbers, Lonzo. I'm curious because you said earlier Saquon should have been the MVP. That's an interesting take. Saquon Barkley got 0 first place votes, 1 second place vote, and 25 third place votes.
Because he's not a quarterback.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. At this point, I've been against this in years gone by, great one. I think with this, even though I do think Josh Allen was indeed the MVP this year, at the same time, I acknowledge it's absolutely ludicrous that Saquon Barkley, because I'd have given Saquon Barkley my second place vote. He'd have had 2 if I was a voter. I think I am jumping on board after this year. I am jumping on board with we should establish another MVP. There should be an MVQ and there should be an MVP. There should be an MVQ that we hand to the most valuable quarterback every year and an MVP that we hand to the most valuable not quarterback player. And to me, as much as, and y'all know I love me some Lamar Jackson, I would have gone Allen 1, Barkley 2, Burrow 3, Jackson 4. The final order was Allen 1 as the winner, Lamar, Saquon, Joey B, Jared Goff, and Patrick Mahomes rounded out the next two picks. Jaden Daniels checked in just behind Patrick Mahomes. So that's how your MVP awards wrapped up. Some of your other awards that went out last night. Saquon Barkley did win the Offensive Player of the Year award, became the ninth player to rush for more than 2,000 yards, finished 100 yards shy of Eric Dickerson's all-time single-season record. He averaged 142.7 rushing yards per game, the fourth highest single-season average in league history. Defensive Player of the Year goes to Patrick Surtain, the second from Denver, the first cornerback to win the award. Surtain gave up only two touchdowns and 306 receiving yards, the third fewest amongst corners with at least 50 targets, received 26 first-place votes, barely edging out Bengals edge rusher Trey Hendrickson and Browns edge rusher Myles Garrett. Jaden Daniels won your Offensive Rookie of the Year award. Bango, you're welcome if you tailed me on the 17-1 bet that I told you to make preseason. Handed Washington its best season in more than 30 years, took a 4-13 team to a 12-5 record and an NFC championship game in his very first season. Your Defensive Rookie of the Year, former Florida Stater turned LA Ram Jared Verse, the team's first winner of the award since Aaron Donald in 2014. The number 19 pick led all rookies with 18 QB hits, 50 quarterback pressures, 12 more than any other rookie this season. His 4.5 sacks were fifth amongst rookies. Joey B won the Comeback Player of the Year award. Chargers running back J.K. Dobbins and Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold finished second and third. Your coach of the year is Vikings HC Kevin O'Connell after another 14 victories this season. Jags defensive lineman Eric Armstead won the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year award. Former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson named assistant coach of the year. Minnesota Vikings DC Brian Flores and ex-Lions defense coordinator Aaron Glenn were second and third. And Niners tight end George Kittle won the Salute to Service Award for his work supporting U.S. service members. Let's go to item number two. This probably could have been wrapped up into item number one, but I also think this is one of the most prestigious sporting things that happened. Also, last night, the NFL announced its 2025 NFL Hall of Fame class. Only four members going in. It is the smallest class since 2005, which also had four members. That was Dan Marino, Steve Young, Fritz Pollard, and Benny Friedman. This year, it is tight end Antonio Gates, cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, and wide receiver Sterling Sharp. Those four will be enshrined in the hall in Canton, Ohio, coming up in August. Indianapolis Colts and New England Patriots kicker Adam Vinatieri, Carolina Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly, New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning were all in their first year of eligibility and were not selected this year. Neither was, of course, in his, second year of eligibility. Former Carolina Panther wide receiver Steve Smith did not get in either. Just a four-member class, of which I would say, Zoe, Antonio Gates was probably one of my favorite players to ever watch play. And Jared Allen, to me, and I know that this is not the case, Jared Allen was probably the first player that I remember having an on-the-field / off-the-field brand that jumped off the page at you. Jared Allen was just a character, and I know there have been other guys before him, but I think he was the first one that kind of transcended into this realm of, like, all-around entertainer, but also really good football player.
Hunter, Fisher, you know, that guy.
Dude was showing up to games on horseback.
Yeah, he was that guy and crazy on the field. And
he was wild.
Was a Kansas City Chief and also, I believe, Minnesota, I think was.
Yep. In fact, I remember him more for his time with the Vikings than I do anything else.
Yeah, but he was with Kansas City for a while and was one of my favorite players for sure.
Oh, for sure.
No matter what, he's one of those guys, even though he leaves your team, he's still one of your favorite players.
Yep. Yeah. There's been very few. Unless you go to the Falcons, there's a lot of Saints that have moved on that I'm still like. Trey Hendrickson and Zach Braun. The Saints last night, though, had not one, two players were up for NFL Defensive Player of the Year that were New Orleans Saints as recently as a year ago. Two guys that were NFL Defensive Player of the Year candidates, finalists, two guys that we just let walk. I hate my football team. I hate them. Like, here. Very quickly, item number three. We'll talk about this a little bit later. After becoming the oldest player in NBA history to top 40 points in the LA Lakers 120-112 win over Golden State Warriors, LeBron James said, quote, "What do I think? That I'm old," end quote. He wanted to say, "That's what I think. I need a glass of wine and some sleep. That's the first thing I think about." Last night, at 40 years and 38 days old, LeBron James became the oldest player in NBA history to score 40 points in a game, about a month older than Michael Jordan was when he scored 43 back in 2003 for the Wiz at 40 years and 4 days old. James, when asked about being linked to Jordan once again, said, quote, "The biggest thing is we got the win, but throughout my journey, anytime I've been named or in the category or whatever the case, cross paths with any of the greats, it's always humbling just to know where I come from, and I love the game so much, so it's pretty cool." Facing the Dubs last night, James knocked down a three-point shot late in the game. He hit five three-point attempts right out of the gate, including three straight in a 28-second span. In the second quarter, the final one of the sequence came from the Lakers logo at center court, 30 feet away from the basket, put the Lake show up to 45-23 with 9:09 in the second quarter to get the record. Steve Kerr burned a timeout as James raised both his arms and egged on the home crowd. LeBron James, I don't think... And so I'm curious as if you'll join me in this I don't think too hot take. I don't think we're paying enough attention to what LeBron James is doing at 40 years old.
I agree. And here's the thing. People will come around. If they're winning right now.
They are winning. And Luka's not out there yet.
And what are they going to do when Luka gets out there? Are they going to continue to win, or will there be a chemistry problem? If they get better, which they should. They should absolutely get a lot better. Look out.
Yeah, I'm not buying into this Charles Barkley theory that there's not enough ball time for Luka and LeBron. I'm not buying into this Chuck theory that these two guys can't play together. I disagree entirely. I think they're going to be phenomenal together. He's not even out there yet. And at this point, the Lakers are on an absolute tear right now. They have won, what is that? I think they've won like 9 out of their last 11. At this point, they are absolutely on a heater. They've been doing it without Anthony Davis. Now they're in the spot where they are what? The Lake Show is currently fifth in the West. They are one game behind Houston for fourth. They're a game and a half behind Denver for third. This team is not just going to be a playoff team when Luka shows up. There's a very good chance they're going to be a hosting playoff team in the first round.
Are there Vegas odds? I'm sure there probably are, about who gets hurt first, Anthony Davis or Luka.
I don't know if you saw.
I know where my money's on.
I don't know if you saw, great one, Luka show up at the Lakers facility and put on the uni for the first time for his promo shoots.
Didn't look fat to me.
Fat!
Yeah.
Fat! That dude's jacked, bro. I'm at the point now where I think, and this may shock you, I think the Mavericks are full of about Luka. I think the conspiracy theory D-Wade laid out yesterday is absolutely true at this point, which we'll revisit later in the show. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate, Rob Lonzo and you. I want to talk very briefly, since we have a short segment here, I want to talk very briefly about the conspiracy theory taking place right now in the NBA. Dwayne Wade has had an interesting take the last couple of days about this. I want to give it to you again, and then I want to talk about it a little bit because I think the Mavs are full of crap to the point that it has brought me around to believe, like straight up believe, Dwayne Wade's conspiracy theory. Dwayne Wade said this. I agree with that, but I want to take it one step further. Tomorrow, the Mavericks play their first home game since Luka Doncic was traded away to become a Los Angeles Laker. There are two things that have happened. Well, I guess I should say there are three things that have happened since that deadline that I think are very interesting. The first thing is that within a day, and they're going to dress this up as this is just the Mavs trying to be in touch with the community. The first thing that happened is within a day, the Mavericks sent out an offer to refund the remaining value of season tickets to anybody who did not want to keep their season tickets. Effectively admitting, we know you came here to support and we know you came here to watch Luka Doncic. And now that he's not here, if you don't want to come to Mavs games anymore, we will pay you for the remaining value of those season tickets. And the Mavs are dressing it up as, oh, excellent customer service, right? We're taking care of our community. The reality here, and I'd almost be willing to guarantee, that they are going to refund those season tickets, whoever elects to do it, of which there will be a lot of fans. They are going to refund those season tickets, and two things are going to happen. Number one, those season tickets are going to be resold by the team for more than they refunded. It's just a way to recycle tickets and make another double dip of profit off of them. And number two, they know that if season ticket holders weren't refunded, those season ticket holders would show up to the arena and be a problem. Because you know they're not going to show up and be like, woo, let's go Mavs. They're going to show up and go, hey, bleep you, Nico. No, screw this. We're going to boo the team out of the building, right? And that's a problem.
So you don't think winning would take care of that?
I think it would. I also think that they're not a very good basketball team anymore. They've still got some dogs. They've still got some players.
I think they won last night.
I mean, yeah, but every NBA team's going to win a handful. Like, they're not a playoff team anymore. And the Mavs went from a playoff team that went to the NBA Finals a year ago to, if they make the playoffs, it's going to be like the last play-in spot at best, right? So I think, number one, it allows them to double dip on profits. And number two, it allows them to, in their opinion, hopefully not have a hostile home crowd tomorrow when they return for the first time back to the Big D, and I do mean Dallas. Number two, as Dwayne Wade pointed out, and again, I think he's accurate, this trade was good for the NBA because the NBA right now, as mentioned, is indeed struggling in viewership. Ratings are down, like significantly, like noticeably down. Luka as a Mav, number one, or excuse me, Luka as a Laker moves the needle in the number one TV market in the United States. Luka with LeBron certainly does. It moves merch sales, no doubt, because now everybody that is one of those bandwagon Laker fans is going to want a Luka Doncic 77 jersey. It's good for the NBA as a whole. And while individual team owners may want their team to be as good as possible, they are still investors. And the revenue sharing that comes from television contracts is more important than the revenue generated within your individual market. You want to know how I know that? We played games in the bubble during COVID so that they could keep the TV contract in. We played NFL games, NBA games, MLS games, NHL games. We played them in a bubble with zero fans. No merch sales, no concession sales, no extra add-on ticket premium sales. We did all of those sports sans fans in arenas. The leagues could operate without stadiums. Now, it's extra money, so they're not going to. But the TV revenue is important, and this is a boost for the NBA, whether you like it or not. And I don't. But there's one more aspect of this that kind of started floating around yesterday, and this I completely buy into. Mark Cuban sold his shares to the team, with the exception of like 27% of them. He's not a controlling owner anymore. He's got input, but he's not a decision maker any longer. The primary owners of the team, the decision-making owners of the team at this point, as we have talked about a couple of times this week, they are investors. They are Las Vegas casino magnates. They are casino barons. Now, why is this important? It is important because of two things that are relevant to the Dallas Mavericks right now. Number one, Texas is currently working on legislation that would legalize sports gambling in the state of Texas. On top of that, Dallas is one of the top five markets in terms of size in America. It is an enormous city. Well, if the state of Texas legalizes sports gambling, what does that allow the owners of the Dallas Mavericks to do? It allows them to say, we want to connect our basketball team to the sports gambling world. And whether that is build an entire casino or just build a sports book around the team, we want to take advantage of that, which would position them to be the gambling entity in Dallas, Texas. They would own that market by connecting it. Not just connecting it to the gambling world, but connecting it to the gambling world with all of the contacts and knowledge that they have as Las Vegas investors. But there's a second thing on the table here. Where's the NBA trying to get a team at next? Las Vegas, Nevada. The NFL did it. MLB is doing it. The NBA has made it no secret that they want to get a team into Las Vegas, Nevada. Who else better to do that than folks who have been longtime investors and power players in Las Vegas, like the owners of the Dallas Mavericks? So what power does that give the new ownership of the Dallas Mavericks? Very simple. They make the team bad. Ticket sales tank, merch tanks, national TV time tanks. All of the metrics by which teams are patted on the back or told you have to do better, they all tank. And then they get to go to Dallas, Texas. They get to go to the municipality. And they get to say, we want concessions. We want this. We want tax breaks. We want tax funding for a new stadium. We want tax funding for a new facility. We want this special treatment. We want that special treatment. And here's the options, guys. You can give us these things, including special treatment and exemptions that allow us to build either a casino or a sports book right next to our stadium, connect it to the team, yada, yada, yada. Or we'll take the team out to Las Vegas because they will give us all of that. So here you go, Dallas, Texas. You have two options. You can give us everything that we want. Every exemption, every tax break, every taxpayer-funded incentive for new stadiums and facilities and this, that, and the other. You can allow us every permit that we want in order to build our casino or our sports book or whatever. You can give us all that, or we'll get on the phone with old Adam Silver and we'll volunteer this team to be the team that moves to Las Vegas. It's your pick. And here's the thing. Then Dallas has a situation. Either they take money out of the coffers of the taxpayers in order to give the Mavericks owners everything that they want in order to keep the team, or They say, hey, go bleep yourself, buddy. We're not giving you that. And the team leaves and they lose an NBA team and everything that comes along with that. The part that sucks here about this is that the owners of the Dallas Mavericks 100% have an incentive to make this team suck. To make it suck. Somebody put the list of what the Brooklyn Nets turned the Kevin Durant trade in. When Durant was 38, by the way, it is legitimately like 9 years worth of multiple first round picks versus what the Mavs got for Luka, which was Anthony Davis, one player and a single first round pick. And the bad thing is, as awful as this is, the owners can't lose because they either get everything they want in Dallas or they get everything they want in Las Vegas, and they're good either way. The fans get bleeped, and there's nothing they can do about it. This is the ugly side of sports. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. You know, statistically speaking, this is our most listened to segment. Statistically speaking, there are more people listening now than ever before. Or will listen for the rest of the show. Just statistically speaking. And Lonzo and I had all of you in the Armada listen to all 4 hours, all 5 days of the week. But statistically speaking. So I'm going to say this to you right now so that the most of you have the chance to do something awesome. Our Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway is happening right now. What's that, Rob? Glad you asked, hypothetical listener I made up for this exact scenario. I'll explain it. It's real simple. You go on your cell phone, tablet, or digital device and you download the Odyssey app. It is free. When you download the Odyssey app, you register simply by popping your email in. Again, free. Then, once you're in the Odyssey app, you go to the Fan Upstate page. Just search it in the little search bar. When you get to the Fan Upstate page, there's a little heart icon. I want you to click it and favorite the station. That way, every time that you open the Odyssey app, it goes right to the Fan Upstate page. On the middle of that page, there is a big orange button that says Listen Live. I want you to click that button, and I want you to listen for 60 minutes. Now, I'd love for you to do it during the Rob Brown Show. But for the Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway, you can listen any 60 minutes of any given day. You listen to the Fan Upstate on the Odyssey app for 60 minutes, and you are going to be automatically entered in our Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway. What's that, Rob? Again, glad you asked. Somebody in this national contest is going to win the grand prize. The grand prize is this. You and three people of your choosing are going to win round trip airfare to Las Vegas. You are going to win a top tier accommodations at the Circa Casino and Resort. You are going to win the opportunity to go watch the opening round of the College Basketball National Championship Tournament at Stadium Swim, which, if you know what Stadium Swim is, good for you. If you don't, it is an outdoor, enormous pool of which there is always a party going on, surrounded by bars and restaurants, with a television screen atop it that is roughly the size of a football field. And if there's a sport happening in America or around the world that has a camera pointed at it, it's up on that screen. You are winning the flight. You are winning accommodations. You are winning the opportunity to hang out at Stadium Swim. And oh, in case I haven't mentioned it yet, every one of your party of four is also winning $5,000 in cash money. That is $20,000 added on to the round trip airfare, the accommodations at Circa Casino and Resort, the Stadium Swim passes, and $5,000 a person for a total of $20,000. $1,000. And all you have to do is get the Audacy app, AUDACY, download it, register on it, and listen to the Fan Upstate for 60 minutes. So for those of you in your car right now, you're driving to work, you're headed in, you're not looking forward to the next 8 hours. All you want to do is go in, talk about the big game TM with your coworkers, then be done at 5, head home, and start setting up for that big game party TM. Here's what you do. Grab the Audacy app right now. Take it into the office with you. Turn on the Rob Brown Show and just set it on the desk and listen while you pretend to work. AUDACY, get registered. 60 minutes of listening to the Fan Upstate. You are automatically entered into the Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway. You and three people of your choosing get round trip airfare to Vegas, accommodations at the Circa Resort and Casino, passes to Stadium Swim, and $5,000 per person to do with whatever you wish. You're welcome, America. It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas giveaway happening right now only on the Audacy app. All right, let's get some more stuff in here. I have been on this for a minute. Joe Pompliano is a rising star in the world of sports broadcasting. He hosts The Pomp Show. It is a podcast that he puts on the internet. Well-connected in the sports world is Joe Pompliano. I did some research on him before I decided that I was going to utilize some of his audio. And the reason I'm playing his audio is because I heard it yesterday. I went and did the research, and I found out that what he said on his podcast is true. What'd he say, Rob? This. Yay! Hater.
His voice, it's voice, dude. I mean, the stuff he's talking about is fascinating, but his voice just, it just.
I will totally.
And somebody kept doing this.
It wasn't me.
Okay, I'm just curious.
It wasn't me. I backed off the mic. I will agree with you on one thing, which is Joe Pompliano. And I watched some more of his stuff. I don't dislike the guy, but he definitely has that YouTube speaking voice. You know the one. Hey, guys. He definitely has that voice. That being said, I went and I researched the claims.
I just want to say, Bill Brooks was reading that. Dude, I'm in.
I'm telling you, we're going to have to get like a Bill Brooks reads the sports news segment going. Sorry, Bill, you have 10 more minutes of work you have to do every morning because the Rob Brown Show needs you.
Loosen the smoking jacket, stoke up the fire, and do a little more work for us.
So, I went and checked these claims, and from what I was able to find yesterday evening, they're all correct. They're all accurate.
The most fascinating thing about the whole thing when he was talking was the fact that tennis balls, that technology requires light.
Yep.
And when he said that, it makes a lot of sense for the reason why they're struggling with doing what you would like them to do.
The issue here, and that is exactly correct, and I acknowledge this when the conversation started after the AFC title game, because even though Rob Brown has been on this bandwagon for years now, don't care. Even though Rob Brown has been on this bandwagon for years, after the AFC championship game where the did or did not Josh Allen get a first down conversation popped up, the rest of America has joined me on these. Okay, guys, we got to do something. There needs to be something better than two sticks and a chain to determine if a team was able to accomplish their goal of a first down or not. There's got to be something better than that. And he kind of laid it out there, which is the Hawkeye technology used in tennis, which if you have not watched any tennis in the last couple of years, and they have been using it for a couple of years now. Whenever there is an instant replay challenge in tennis, of which players in any given game, set, or match get X amount of them, I'm going to keep it a buck. I don't know how many they get per game. But when they go to a challenge, they have effectively filmed the tennis ball at like a gazillion frames per second and hooked that footage up to a computer that is able to tell within a fraction of a millimeter where the ball contacted, and therefore get a very, very accurate digital look at whether or not the ball was past the line, on the line, inside the line, whatever. But Joe explained, because yes, I did some research on this when I listened to this clip last night as well, that the Hawkeye technology requires the tennis ball to be at least in 75% light for the computer to be able to recognize and render the size, shape, speed, and movement of the tennis ball, which is obviously something that would be very difficult to do in football. Hell, even if we use the Josh Allen play as the example, Josh Allen had that ball tucked away to his chest inside of two arms, ball security, baby, 5 points of contact, had that ball tucked away, and there were defenders sandwiched all over him, meaning there's no way to see the football. So the combination of optical technology when available and these RFID chips is going to be effectively mandatory for this to work.
So this is all controlled by a computer, right?
It would be controlled
or a series of computers that could be hacked or
see, here's what I'm not going to allow.
You're not going to allow the fact that there is no perfect way to do this. Mm-mm. Because computers are not perfect. There are glitches. Nothing is unhackable.
You ain't wrong, Zoe. And I would still be willing to bet I could get you a higher efficiency rate than referees. Okay? I know there's no perfect way. There's no perfect way to prevent car accidents, but we damn sure have put tech on the road.
There absolutely is a perfect way. Don't get in the car.
That doesn't prevent car accidents. That prevents you from being in a car accident. It doesn't stop car accidents.
If everybody didn't get in the car, then it could prevent car accidents.
I got places to be.
Yeah, I know.
I got places to be.
And the thing is, you're pushing this thing as if it's perfection,
no,
and it's not.
No, what I'm pushing it as is more accurate than two refs who regularly disagree with each other and a stick and some chain. It's going to be more accurate than that. And I will take 93% efficiency over 82% efficiency when it comes to, did an offense earn a thing or not? If an offense earns a first down, they should be awarded a first down. Not, maybe they get it, maybe they don't, because the referee on this side says here and the referee on that side said there. And oh, by the way, the only way to say whether it happened or not is a chain and two sticks. Let's actually figure out whether it was earned or not. And just like with anything else, if we can improve the accuracy and efficiency of a thing, we should. Because a thing isn't flawless doesn't mean we just shouldn't use that because it's got flaws. Yeah, but the system we have has even more flaws to it. So let's implement the tech and up the efficiency rating, decrease the flaws, and find out if it's a first down or not.
That's also in theory that it's going to be more efficient.
I mean, I don't think.
We would need a window of how many years would it take before you could be able to compare the human calls to the robot calls? How many before we could get a sample size big enough to find out which is more efficient?
That is why.
And how much more efficient does it have to be for you to be okay with it?
Literally 1%
upgrade. What if it's less than 1%?
I will take any upgrade.
What if it's less than
1%? I'm going to go ahead and say speculation.
Definitely speculation.
The NFL hasn't been testing it for a decade. If it's got a margin of error that large, they haven't. The NFL, if nothing else, is efficient in the way it manages its money. They are not running this tech in experimental phase for a decade if it's not working.
But that's the best point of all. They've been testing it for a decade and they cannot perfect it. And most places, if you're testing something, you don't do it for 10 years.
I disagree with that. Do we not still test safety systems on cars regularly to make sure that it's efficient and utilizing correct technology? Of course we do. Yes, you absolutely
do. In fact, I would even say
if we are testing it and they come out and Goodell says tomorrow, hey, surprise everybody, we're using the chips next year, I would say good and keep testing it to make sure it can't get better.
Here's the other problem. Testing for a decade, technology has jumped. Have major jumps within that time period. So they will would have to go back and start over again with the latest technology.
That's not how technology works at all.
Absolutely would.
No, it's not. I have this phone. A year ago, I had a phone that wasn't this phone. Hey, when this phone come out, did I have to learn a whole new phone? No. They upgraded the tech. I had to learn a couple new things.
It is a weirdo phone that only a rare few have.
It's not a weirdo thing.
It absolutely is.
A Google Pixel. It's an Android phone.
Whatever I could do to get you to put it back in its holder so you don't throw it through the TV.
The point here is...
because I saw slipping. I did.
A new tech system doesn't render the old one obsolete. Tech, like evolution, is a baby step forward at a time. Mm-hmm. When a new cell phone drops, you don't have to forget everything you've known about cell phones and learn a whole new phone. You just go, okay, all these things are the same, and here's the couple of new differences that I got to learn.
Here's what we're going to – I will be retired living at that one place in Florida. For some reason, the name slips my mind now. You know, that fancy retirement.
The Villages.
The Villages. I'll be living in the Villages.
Lonzo's going to be hanging out with the old hussies down there.
Hey, you know. No, I'm not because I'm happily married. But anyway, I will be schooling them in shuffleboard and bingo. But you will still be on the air. Josh Allen will be retired, and they still won't have this technology in because they'll be testing it.
I will bet you this technology is in play in the next decade.
All right. You'll have to come visit me.
I will. I'll bring you some applesauce.
Sweet.
We'll smash your medicines up in the applesauce.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Sports flash. I got nothing else.
Applesauce.
I love applesauce.
So do I. The NBA trade deadline is come and gone. Here are some of the moves that were made. Dennis Schroeder was traded again to his fourth team this season. Schroeder was sent from the Nets to the Warriors in December, who sent him to the Jazz on Wednesday as part of the Jimmy Butler deal. Yesterday, the Jazz sent him to Detroit in return for K.J. Martin and Josh Richardson. Hey, at least you're still in the league. You may be moving around a bunch, but you're still in the league. The Hornets made one final move, acquiring center Yusuf Nurkic and a 2026 first-round pick from Phoenix in return for Cody Martin and Vasily Micic. I don't care. That's what I'm going with. A 2026 second-round pick. Nurkic hasn't played since January 7th, but was moved to the bench, telling reporters he and Suns coach Mike Budenholzer don't have any sort of relationship. Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. for the Furman Paladins as they take on the Chattanooga Mocs right here on the Fan Upstate.